Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, September 11th, 2014. Of course, today, the 13th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on America. We are here live, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we are streaming the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website, kvoi.com, so you don't have to be in front of a radio, but if you're around a computer, you can find us, and of course, 24/7, my website is up with all of the shows that we have done since we began this venture in January of 2011. Today on the program, we're going to gear up our candidate series. Before Election Day, we will have interviewed dozens of the candidates. Today, it is a conversation with Democrat Terry Goddard, candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. 20 minutes past the hour, Dr. David Levy, our comet discoverer, contributor extraordinaire to the Buckmaster Show. What's this with these solar flares perhaps disrupting all sorts of communication? And then we're going to talk nutrition with Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 and our Facebook page. We always invite new friends of the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing now 3,700 folks who follow us on Facebook, and we are very happy about that. Terry Goddard is with me in studio. Of course, Mr. Goddard is the former Arizona Attorney General. He has a very impressive resume. He was mayor of Phoenix. He was a federal housing official, CPA, a CAP, excuse me, board member, teacher, and now wants to be a Secretary of State. And of course, he is a two-time former candidate for Arizona governor. Terry, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Great to be here. But it's a somber day. I think every time we get to September 11th, it gives us all a sense of serious consideration of the people lost. I'll never forget on that day, my son, who was 3 years old at the time, we saw the live television streaming, and the little boy walked over, watched it for a minute, and then just turned off the TV. He couldn't take it any longer.
Well, I mean, it is a day to do a lot of reflection, and a lot of people have all sorts of anger. You know, they get all angry about this political season we're in, but I think maybe right now on this day, a lot of that anger should be channeled toward the people who really do want to bring this country down.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed, and it's a sobering thought and a very troubling one that the president tried to deal with last night.
You are in a race with Michelle Reagan.
Yes.
And the Republican, and I think there is a very— I actually think that the whole at the top of the Democratic ticket, you get some really— people can't say they don't have a choice this time around when it comes to issues. And in your race,
it's pretty stark.
Yeah,
it really
it is. Stark contrast. You have made a big thing about the so-called dark money. Explain to our listeners, what is dark money? Why should we take a real hard look at it?
Thank you, Bill. I really think dark money is the most serious problem facing our politics, our elections, and it is the responsibility of the Secretary of State, who's the chief elections officer and who oversees two critical areas that involve dark money. One is charities. Most dark money sources are 501c4s, which are charitable foundations who don't have to disclose their donors. So certain donors, most of them corporate donors, as a result of the Citizens United case by the Supreme Court, are trying to hide their presence. They're trying to influence our votes without letting us know who is the influencer. I think that's a terrible situation. I think it's an abomination, really, in a democracy. When you want to have a fair and open debate, it's important to know who's on the other side. And if what you have is a debate between phantoms, between people who are too cowardly to come out and admit who they are, the voter is left in the dark. The voter really doesn't know who they're voting for or against, or who's supporting somebody or not, or opposing them. That's got to change. And there's a lot of misconceptions about dark money in politics. Many people think that the Supreme Court opened the door to dark money. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They opened the door to unlimited corporate money in mm-hmm. politics. That's a separate issue and an important one. But what the Supreme Court said in the Citizens United opinion was there is no First Amendment prohibition against demanding to know who really is the source of the contribution. And I think that's what we in Arizona have to do. Instead, the legislature has failed to come up with any meaningful regulation of dark money, any requirement of disclosure. And as a result, we're the Cayman Islands of dark money. It's flowing into Arizona and through Arizona to other states.
Talk a little bit about independents. They didn't really have much of a say in this election. They could have had
a say, but
Ken Bennett, was current Secretary of State, was talking at a news conference this week that the turnout for independents was very disappointing. And would that be one of your priorities to increase that?
Absolutely. I've said pretty vehemently because it's true that independents have been discriminated against. Mm-hmm. Independents are the largest registration block of voters in Arizona, more than any of the so-called mainstream parties. And you can't call them that anymore because independents are the mainstream. But the system is rigged against independents. For instance, if they want to vote in the primary, they have to go through several extra steps. And they only get one notice under state law for to alert them that they can take a mail ballot in either the Republican or Democratic primary. That's got to change, and I intend to change it. I think they're not included in the system. If you want to run for state office as an independent, you need 33,000 signatures. A Republican needs about 6,000, and a Democrat needs slightly less. That's just a bad system, and it needs to be changed. They voted better in 2014 than in 2012, when only 7% of independents voted in the primary. That's an abomination. If this was a ethnic minority, there would be a Justice Department investigation saying, what's wrong here? There must be a civil rights violation.
All right. Terry Goddard is with us, 790-2040. I think we're going to go now to Adriana, who called us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Adriana, you're with Terry Goddard. Go ahead.
Yes. So as far as the statement that he made in regards to dark money, dark money was labeled that by the Democrats because dark money actually is not dark money. It's people who are protecting their businesses from being boycotted. Beforehand, they used to, you know, come out and say, I'm supporting this candidate, and then they kind of like would be targeted. And so this is a way for them to protect their businesses without being targeted. So it's not a negative thing. It's only been turned into a negative thing.
Okay.
Well, let me respectfully disagree. I think it's a very negative thing. And let me quote a distinguished conservative, Justice Scalia. Justice Scalia said in one of his opinions that he wouldn't want to live in a country where political debate was conducted among anonymous players. In other words, where you couldn't say exactly who it was that was supporting advertisements for or against a particular candidate. That's Justice Scalia. Justice Kennedy in the Citizens United case issued much the same challenge, saying there was no right for corporations or anybody else to stay a secret if they want to be in the political arena. And I agree with that 100%. It seems to me transparency needs to be the order of the day. That needs to be the rule in Arizona. And I think it has to start at the Secretary of State's office by finding who the dark money players are, exposing them if we can, with the help of good, better state legislation. And if that doesn't work, I intend to draft an initiative and lead it to the voters of Arizona to try to make sure that Arizona is transparent in who contributes to political campaigns.
Dark money is the major issue as far as you're concerned with you.
Absolutely.
And your opponent.
Absolutely. And you touched on the other one, which is the bad treatment of minority parties and independents. Basically, they've got a very rough time in Arizona. I think that needs to change. There's some artificial impediments to participating in the election process, either as a candidate or as a voter. Everybody, whether they're an R, a D, an I, or an L, or any other label, needs to be treated equally by our state elections officials, by the Secretary of State. And that has not been the case in Arizona in the past. I intend to change it.
How about the early voting? How has that changed the campaign?
Well, it's changed it a lot. If I read the last primary results properly, there were only about 10% that showed up at the polls on Election Day, something that I have loved doing all of my life. But it's going the way of the dodo. Most Arizonans have chosen the permanent early voting list route, and there have been some slips and some problems. Another issue I have with the Secretary of State's office is a lot of those problems could have been avoided with better explanations, with clearer understanding. In 2012, almost 100,000 ballots had to be counted by hand because the individual who filled out the mail ballot used either a crayon or a magic marker. Unfortunately, the scanners won't read crayon or magic marker, so they had to be recounted or put into a pile and then individually tabulated. That cost us a couple of weeks in bringing in the vote total. That's got to change. Could have been a yellow sticky on every one of the vote by mail stickers saying, please don't use a magic marker.
So you think education of the voter will be a huge part of a Goddard administration in the Secretary of State's office?
Well, I think you need to be, and I don't have the right word, but the drum major for voting. Voting in Arizona is a declining art. We're 45th in the nation and falling in terms of our ranking for voter turnout. That's an abomination to me. I mean, our democracy is precious, and it is exercised through the ballot box. And I believe it's the responsibility of the chief elections officer, the Secretary of State, to help people know what their rights are, exercise them if they choose to. You can't force anybody to vote, but you certainly shouldn't have artificial impediments in their way. Let me give you one example, the dual ballot. Mm-hmm. Only 21 people cast a federal ballot in the primary election, but it cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars to put this silly system in place. I want to get rid of it.
45th in the nation, though?
45th and falling, yes, sir.
And how much of that could be attributed to being a transient state?
Well, some, but Arizona isn't as transient as it used to be.
Right.
A lot more people hail from here. A lot more natives like myself have been born here. I don't think that's a good excuse, because people who come in don't park their citizenship at the border. They if they're from Iowa or wherever else and they've been active participants, they continue to be. But we have, for example, one of the longest cutoff periods before an election. 30 days before the election, you stop registering for that election in Arizona. Other states have same day or shorter periods. That keeps people from voting. There's a whole series of impediments. And one of the issues I have with my opponent is that she's been in the legislature for 12 years, had the opportunity to fix a lot of these things if she thought there were problems, and did not.
Okay, Terry Goddard, where can folks get more information about you on your website?
Website, terrygoddard.com. Please go, and if you're on Facebook, I also have a Terry Goddard AZ page on Facebook, which is very active, and I really appreciate people coming in, sounding off, giving me their opinion, and hopefully hearing some of mine.
And folks can meet you today. You're going to speak at the Viscount Suite Hotel on Broadway at 5:30. You'll be the guest of the Democratic Nucleus Club of Pima County. And then tonight, 7:30, you'll be with young Democrats at the U of A in the Student Union.
Yes, sir. And I spend most of the rest of the day with your county recorder in Pima County, F.N. Rodriguez, who is one of the longest serving and certainly most knowledgeable elections officials in the state of Arizona.
Terry Goddard, thanks a lot. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show one of our two dozen contributors to this program, Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. He is the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, of course, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, 23 comets to his credit, including the very spectacular Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994. David, how are you today?
I'm just great. Happy as a pig in the mud, Bill.
Yeah, I bet.
And it's great.
I'm glad that we can come to you today without interruption from what is being called, David, an extreme solar storm that's heading to Earth. We haven't had one of these in a while, have we?
No, we haven't. And I'm wondering if it'll cause Aurora Borealis to take place over Tucson. So I'm going to check later on today, and I'll be keeping an eye on it in the evening sky now that the moon is just beginning to leave the evening sky. Bill, I needed to tell you something.
Okay.
Very secret. Mm-hmm. Can't share this with anyone other than all your listeners.
Okay.
And that is that last night I was part of an event, the Odyssey storytelling thing at the Flandreau Planetarium and Science Center.
Mm-hmm.
And before I went on, the person in charge named Tony, who you may remember from Channel 6, he asked me if I do other outreach things, and I said, yes, I do, and I said that I am on every month on the Buckmaster Show, which I am really proud and happy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So gave your show a little publicity, and I hope it helps.
Oh, good. Was that Tony Paniagua who was hosting
yes,
that?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Oh, good. Tony's a good friend of mine. David, you had a very successful Adirondacks, that's your upstate New York Adirondack Astronomy Retreat, which
it was our most successful one yet, Bill. We had 5 out of 7 nights were successful.
Wow.
And that was something else. And before I forget, I do want to get my chance in to do my monthly quote, which is the same one I did last night at the planetarium.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Ralph Hodgson, The Song of Honor, which he wrote in 1913. I stood and stared. The sky was lit. The sky was stars all over it. I stood. I knew not why. Without a wish, without a will, I stood upon that silent hill and stared into the sky until my eyes were blind with stars, and still I stared into the sky.
Very nice. Hey, David, you brought up something at the beginning of the interview about the Aurora Borealis. I mean, is it conceivable? Has that ever been seen this far south?
Oh, yes. We've seen it a number of times.
Once, really?
When we used to do our Muscular Dystrophy Association event, Star Night, we saw a very fine aurora here in Arizona. And they take the 1989, when the great Aurora Borealis took place in the northern hemisphere, it went this far south and we saw it right from the event with a lot of people joining us to watch.
Well,
and I've seen a couple of times this summer a wonderful display of a very soft display of auroral glow to the north, and I'm expecting to see one from this, maybe even as early as tonight.
Very nice. Well, we were up in the Canadian Rockies, Jasper and Edmonton, Calgary. And as we were checking out at the hotel, the airport hotel in Edmonton, they said, oh, you missed the wonderful Aurora Borealis at 3 a.m. Well, I said, why didn't someone call us?
So I know. I was there just last fall, Bill.
Yeah.
And they have a telescope at that lovely Jasper Lodge.
They do.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually used it. It's a good telescope they've got.
Hey, David, any comets coming our way this spring?
There sure as heck is. Would you like to know about it, or shall I keep it a secret?
No, you can, since you're spilling the beans to everybody, go ahead.
Okay. It's called Comet Sighting Spring, and it was named after the observatory from which it was discovered. There's a long policy about that, which we're probably not interested in, but it's called, it was actually discovered by the famous comet discoverer who has found, and I just can't think of his name at the moment.
He's so famous that the name just slipped your mind, yeah.
Just sort of flies off the tongue.
One of your colleagues.
And he discovered it, but it was named Sighting Spring. And on October the 19th, the night of October the 19th, it'll be fairly faint, about 8th magnitude, but within 50,000 miles of the planet Mars. And in order to see it, you just take out a telescope, find the planet Mars, and the comet will be right there.
Hmm.
It's not going to collide with Mars, but it'll be very, very close. Also, there's Comet Jacques, which is still bright in the evening sky. And there's another comet that begins with an O. It's not Okie Dokie, but it's similar to that. And it's also brightening up in the morning sky. I have to look at that in the next few weeks.
Fall is a wonderful time to observe the night sky, and now with the moon, we'll be in the waning phase. We've got clearing skies as the monsoon summer thunderstorm season ends. Good time to observe.
Yeah, we've got another possible Mishigasa happening in, after the weekend or during the weekend. This might bring some rain to us, but when that clears off, we should get a long period of clear sky and dark sky. In the meantime, I'm going to be looking for that northern lights in the next couple of days in the evening sky, which we should get, and that should be very nice.
What else is in the evening sky that we could be observing that's very prominent?
Yeah, we have Saturn, low in the west, but it's there. The planet Mars, which is low in the west and climbing every night. So it's it should be good for the next month or so. And then Antares in Scorpius, and so we got three bright stars, for bright objects right in the west. And then in the morning we have Venus and Jupiter, or mostly Jupiter, coming up. So there's a lot to see right now.
The next total solar eclipse, I know you've seen probably more than just about anybody on the planet. When is the next one?
Well, there's one in 2016 in Indonesia, which I'm kind of hoping to see. And if I miss that one, or if you miss that one, there's a total solar eclipse in the United States in 2017. Not to forget the partial eclipse coming in the United States and in Tucson on the 23rd of October. Happens to be to celebrate my first marriage, which was a disaster, unlike my very happy second marriage. But on the 23rd of October in the afternoon, a partial eclipse of the sun visible from Tucson.
All right, Dr. David Levy, thank you very much. We'll look forward to your visit with us in October. David, thanks.
Okay, thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Thank you very much. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, get your nutrition questions ready, 790-2040. If you have any questions about vitamins, supplements, whatever, Jack Chalom is here, 790-2040. That's coming up right after the break.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Members of Congress may not see much political risk in voting to give President Obama additional authority to fight Islamic State terrorists in Iraq and Syria. Some recent polls have shown Americans more supportive of military action than they were right after the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. South African Olympian Oscar Pistorius, due to find out tomorrow the verdict in his trial for the shooting death of his girlfriend last year, but he's already been assured by the judge that he will not be convicted of murder. You won't be seeing much more of that video showing former Baltimore Ravens player Ray Rice hitting his then-fiancée and knocking her out. At least four TV networks say they plan to stop airing the video, or at the very least, they'll play much less of it. Stocks lower on Wall Street. More details at srnnews.com.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name's Bill Buckmaster. Jack Chalom is with us, a nutrition reporter, 790-2040, 790-2040, for any of your nutrition questions. And while we were listening to the fine lineup of Buckmaster sponsors, I was talking to Jack, and of course today, the 13th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on America. I didn't realize, Jack, you were overseas 13 years ago today.
Yeah, Bill. You know... I think everyone remembers exactly where they were on 9/11, just like previous generations remember where they were during Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Copenhagen. I had been visiting people with the Danish Olympic team for one of the books I was writing at the time. And I was walking, doing some last-minute shopping, expecting to fly home on the 12th.
Oh,
and the first heads-up was a Danish guy on his cell phone behind me, and he was just talking quickly, but a couple of English words popped out, Pentagon, full-scale attack. And I knew something serious was happening at that point.
When did you get home? How many days were you over there?
A six-day trip. Turned out to be a two-week trip.
Wow. Yeah, that was quite a shuffling of all the air traffic had to be moved around. Transatlantic flights coming into the United States at the time were landing up in
Newfoundland.
And our Canadian friends really did treat the folks really well up there. A lot of them were up in St. John's in that area for, I think, almost a week. And people opened their homes and really treated folks really nice. But I learned that about you, Jack. I didn't know you were overseas at the time, but you're right. We all remember where we were precisely 13 years ago. Your current edition of the Nutrition Reporter, which you produce and edit, comes out every month, the September issue. You talk about omega-3s. We continue to be amazed by some of the things that omega-3s can do, and we know that they can protect the brain, but now there's research showing that it really reduces the risk of Alzheimer's disease and even ALS.
Yeah, Bill, you know, this is really timely given the whole ice bucket challenge. And, you know, one of the studies focused on really three groups of people, people who are cognitively normal, those with mild cognitive impairment, which is a prelude to Alzheimer's, and then people diagnosed with clear-cut Alzheimer's disease. And some of these people had already been taking fish oils for a number of years and continued taking them during the study. And so what they found out was that the fish oils did have protective benefits in healthy people and the people with mild cognitive impairment. No benefits in the people with actual Alzheimer's disease, which is really kind of like the late stage of the whole disease process. The other study focused on ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig disease. And this was a study that involved over a million people. So from a data standpoint, it's very, very strong. And the people who had the highest consumption of omega-3 fish oils were about a third less likely to develop ALS. And, you know, the way to put this in context is that fish oils are essential for brain development, you know, in neonatals, infants, children. They're important for moods throughout life. As brain nutrients go, this is probably number one on my list. So the finding doesn't really surprise me, but again, the timing with both ALS and Alzheimer's disease is very significant.
And again, the question would be how much fish oil, how much omega-3s were the subjects of the test taking?
I would probably recommend, you know, both of these studies, you know, had people kind of like taking the supplements on their own. But my general recommendation is at least 1 gram a day, which is kind of like one big fat soft gel capsule.
Which would be 1,000
Yeah, 1,000 milligrams. And people can go safely up to 2 or 3 of those a day. And I think, you know, if people like eating fish, having salmon once or twice a week, you know, provides good nutrition and would actually supply the same amount of the oils. So there's a dietary option and there's a supplement option.
Well, I know of some people taking 4,000 milligrams a day, people who are have heart issues, and they don't seem to have any negative side effects.
Yeah, and I would have to think about how much I actually take, but I probably take 2 to 3 grams a day. There's been a lot of good work showing that the fish oils lower triglyceride levels. That's another risk factor similar to cholesterol.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan has a question for Jack Chalom. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you. My son is an MD. He just asked me to ask you this question. Do you nutritionists actually understand what goes on in the body chemistry and how the cells are actually affected? Or are you just are these researchers just doing all this by trial and error, and we'll see what happens?
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Well, thanks, Dan. Good question. When I read the studies, the researchers almost always explain a biochemical rationale for their findings in the discussion part of the articles. And, you know, this really sort of shifts from the subject of nutrition to nutritional biochemistry, which is really kind of like the nuts and bolts of how things work in the body. So I would say probably most of the researchers do have at least some understanding of the biochemistry that underlies what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your nutrition reporter, and these are people that have pretty good credentials that did this study. This is a Catherine Fitzgerald of the Harvard University School of Public Health that was involved in the ALS study. So these are people that that have been involved in the field for quite a few years, usually, do these studies.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, now that I think of it, when I am summarizing research in my newsletter, it's usually research published by MDs and PhDs, and very few of these studies are actually published by nutritionists.
And the first study we talked about, this was a doctor of pharmacy at Brown University that did the study concerning Alzheimer's disease and omega-3. So it's a good point that Dan brings up. You know, people want to know, well, who are these folks doing this research? And you see a lot of this research. That's what you kind of put together, some of the best of the research of the month for your nutrition reporter.
Yeah, I certainly try to do that, Bill. And I tend to be critical of what I call Betty Crocker nutrition, which is kind of like the conventional approach. And I tend to be a little more biochemically oriented.
Okay, we're going to talk about niacin, one of the two common forms of vitamin B3 supplements, when we continue on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. You know, I've written 36 books. One of my best, I think, is Have a New Kid by Friday. Hit the New York Times bestseller list. Maybe you'd like a new home by Friday. Maybe you're driven up the wall by bugs and the pests that Tucson, Arizona has. Hey, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
New 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum.
Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Talking with Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter. Jack comes on the program once a month and we talk about nutrition. I didn't get a chance at the beginning of the interview to mention Jack's very impressive credentials. He has more than 20 books to his credit, including The Inflammation Syndrome. And I believe you mentioned to me before we went on that that's why you were over in Denmark at the time of 9/11. You were doing some research for that book.
Yeah, they were. The Danish Olympic team was working on using fish oils as an anti-inflammatory for the athletes. And I just went over to get more details because I'd been thinking along the same lines. And it's like, okay, we're sort of converging. And it was a great visit, except for what happened on 9/11.
Jack's latest book is called No More Fatigue, and all of your books, just about all of them, are still in print and available on Amazon, correct?
They are.
Jack, what about the smear job, you call it, on niacin? Niacin is one of the two common forms of vitamin B3 supplements. Some bad publicity concerning niacin.
Yeah, you know, the backstory is that niacin was approved back in 1955 by the Food and Drug Administration for lowering cholesterol. And it's been sort of overwhelmed by drug marketing because, hey, you know, it's a vitamin. You can't really patent it. The statins generate a heck of a lot more money. I think Lipitor, as an example, has generated more than $100 billion in sales since it was introduced. So this latest study really, you know, the researchers made a leap of what I would call illogic. And so there were actually two studies, and they blamed the side effects in the study on niacin. And what they didn't point out was that they gave niacin with another drug called Lorpiprant. And this drug was recalled last year by its maker, Merck Pharmaceuticals, because the drug is so problematic. And the study didn't have a separate niacin and a separate drug group. It was people either taking the combination or placebos. And so it was just totally illogical.
So niacin got lumped in with this drug that was recalled.
Exactly.
Because folks that were taking the two of them together.
Yeah, and that's why I called it a smear job on niacin.
People do complain that regular niacin does cause the flushing, itching sensation that's not really comfortable, to say the least, and that can last up to an hour.
Yeah, so some people like the feeling. Some people hate it. But if you're taking niacin every day, as I do, you stop flushing after a few weeks. And I can't remember the last time I flushed.
790-2040 for Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter. Vitamin C, some people have decided that there's benefits to actually not just taking an oral supplement, but actually doing an intravenous vitamin C.
Yeah, there's two studies on vitamin C in the latest issue. One used intravenous vitamin C in patients infected with the Epstein-Barr virus. This is a pretty significant virus because it causes mononucleosis, and it can be the trigger for chronic fatigue syndrome. And what the researchers found out after analyzing a whole bunch of their case histories, this is at a nutritional medicine center in Wichita, Kansas, was that the antibody levels triggered by Epstein-Barr decreased after the vitamin C, which was given intravenously. The people who refused the intravenous vitamin C had no decrease in antibody levels. Basically, this means the vitamin C helped normalize the immune response. The other study used 1,000 milligrams of oral vitamin C. This was done up at Arizona State. And the lead researcher is Carol Johnston, who I've met a number of times.
Who has a PhD.
Yeah, yeah, PhD researcher, very, very good researcher. And the subjects were young, healthy men, and they were taking the supplements or placebos for a certain length of time. And by the end of the study, they found that the men had increased their capacity for exercise a little bit. And there is a rationale for it because you need vitamin C to make another substance called carnitine. And carnitine is used to transport fats into cells where they're burned for energy. One other benefit to the guys who were taking a gram a day of vitamin C, they were 45% less likely to contract a cold. And those who did get a cold, the length of the cold was reduced by 59%, which is almost two-thirds. So, you know, you could figure 7-day cold down to maybe 3-day cold.
You know, we had Dr. Mazes on from the Center for Integrative Medicine yesterday, and we were talking about the different diets. And she says, you know, there may not be a one-size-fits-all diet for everybody, but every diet should include fruits and vegetables. And you've got some studies here about the fruits and vegetables really do lower the risk of death.
Yeah, and, you know, this is I usually put this in the no-brainer filing cabinet.
Seems pretty obvious,
doesn't it? This was an analysis of 16 published studies with over 800,000 people. It was done by Frank Hugh, MD, PhD at Harvard University.
He has an MD and a PhD.
Very good researcher. And he found that for every serving of fruits and veggies, the risk of cardiovascular disease and death from all causes dropped by about 5%. So if you're eating the recommended 5 servings, your risk would drop by 25%.
Yeah. And keep those fruits and vegetables coming. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. JV has a very good question. We're going to go back to vitamin C for Jack Chalam. Go ahead, JV.
When I've taken vitamin C by itself, it always seems to upset my stomach. Do you have any solutions for that?
Yeah, there are vitamin C supplements that are called buffered vitamin C. And these should be a little bit gentler on the tummy. I would also start out at a lower dose, maybe with a capsule instead of a tablet. Sometimes people have trouble breaking up the tablet, and they just do better with a capsule. Another advantage to a capsule is you could always open it up, sprinkle it on some food, put it in a glass of juice. Start with a lower dose and try buffered vitamin C.
That is a big issue. A lot of people will try vitamin C, but they'll have, you know, this horrible upset stomach and they just don't go back to it.
Yeah, often they're taking too much at once. And if you do take too much, it can have a laxative effect.
Now, the Nutrition Reporter, how do folks get a hold of it?
I've got a whole year's worth of back issues up on my website, nutritionreporter.com. If anyone wants to subscribe, there are subscription forms there. The issues are free. They're PDFs that can be easily downloaded.
And your photography is outstanding. I'm a big fan of Jack Chalom photography. If people want to look at your images, and one of your images was chosen by Nikon in their calendar. Is it the current calendar?
It's the 2014 calendar.
Yeah, I mean, it's big time, Jack. You had an image that was chosen by Nikon, so that's cool. So folks can find your photography by just going to Jack Chalom.
JackChalom.com/photography. And real quickly, my Nikon photo is on the September page of the month.
Hey,
how appropriate.
Very appropriate. And this is also very appropriate. Our sponsor, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You shoot a lot over in New Mexico, I know.
I do. And a friend just suggested maybe us doing a hiking trip up to the Silver City area.
And that's thank you for leading me into that, because the 10th annual Gila River Festival is coming up the weekend of September 18th and 21st. So, Jack, that would be a great opportunity to go over to Silver City and celebrate the United States' first wilderness river. So that's going to be a festival happening in Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Great places to stay in the area, like Pinos Altos Cabins. And you can find out all about that on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Jack, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. I've been drinking now 2 bottles of Culligan water during the show to keep myself well hydrated, and the dryness can be an issue when you're on the radio. Anyway, producer Rosemary Brandt and I, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for our Friday Focus interview, Iron Chef Ryan Clark, tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.